1 to 10. I'm reading from the ESV version, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sunday mornings that we can come together, call upon your holy name and worship you, adore you, sing praises to your name. And we thank you, blessed Lord, that we can gather around your holy word. And we thank you that your word speaks to our hearts. And we thank you that your spirit ministers to us as we meditate on the pages of your word. So we pray this morning as we look into the pages of your word, that Lord, you would write your word upon our minds and our hearts. And I ask that you hide me behind the shadow of the cross and fill me with your spirit and bring your word to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Now, John chapter 10 focuses on the picture of sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds. That's John chapter 10. The picture is of sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds. It's actually a Middle Eastern rural picture, but it is a picture that speaks to us even today in our urban world, in our industrialized world. This picture speaks. And Paul used this picture actually when admonishing the spiritual leaders in the church at Ephesus. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we read, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Paul is speaking to pastors, he's speaking to elders, and he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or elders or pastors, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. In other words, he's telling them that you've received this ministry because of God's mercy, so take care that you do the ministry diligently. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Now the truths of this chapter, this picture, the truths that cluster around this picture of the shepherd and the sheep, it's found throughout the Bible, not just in John chapter 10. And they are very important to us today. And the symbols that Jesus used help us to understand who he really is and what he wants to do for us. And in John chapter 10, we need to take note, there are three declarations that Jesus makes about himself. Number one, he says, I am the door. He says, I am the door. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. I am the door. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. And then he says, I am the Son of God. These are the three declarations you find Jesus is making in this chapter, in John chapter 10. Now the message of Jesus in John chapter 10, it actually comes out of the confrontation which he had with the Jewish leaders. And we saw how the Jewish leaders excommunicated that beggar who was born blind, who was healed by Jesus. And we saw how they threw him out of the synagogue in John chapter 9. And Jesus had already spoken to those Pharisees in John chapter 9. He had briefly spoken to them about light and darkness. Remember that? John chapter 9 verses 39 to 40. He had briefly spoken to them already about light and darkness. That was a brief but very penetrating sermon on spiritual blindness. But now, Jesus changed that picture to that of the shepherd and the sheep. He changes the picture to that of the shepherd and the sheep. Now, why does he do this? Because to the Jewish mind, a shepherd was any kind of a leader, spiritual or political leader. And people looked on the king, people looked on the prophets, people looked on them as shepherds. And Israel was privileged to be the flock of the Lord. Israel was privileged to be the flock of the Lord. Look at Psalm 100 in verse 3. It says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So Israel was so privileged to be the flock of the Lord. And God speaks to them. He speaks to them as His own flock. Now we have a background of this picture in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 56, where God speaks about irresponsible leaders of Israel. The arrogant shepherds, so to speak, the arrogant shepherds of Israel. In Isaiah 56 verses 9 to 12, "All you beasts of the field, come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. But they are shepherds who have no understanding." You see that? "They are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. Come, they say, let me get wine, let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure." The prophets keep speaking over and over again to these irresponsible leaders, the shepherds of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23 verses 1 to 4, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord." Again, Jeremiah speaks again in Jeremiah 25, verses 34 to 38. "Wail, you shepherds, and cry out and roll in ashes, you lords of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and dispersion have come, and you shall fall like a choice vessel. No refuge will remain for the shepherds, or escape for the lords of the flock. A voice, the cry of the shepherds, and the wail of the lords of the flock. For the Lord is laying waste their pasture, and the peaceful folds are devastated because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Like a lion he has left his lair, for their land has become a waste because of the sword of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger." If you read the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, again, it is so powerful, speaking against the arrogant shepherds of Israel. We read four verses earlier in one of the passages that we studied. I'll just read that to you again. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 to 4. "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Zechariah has something to say. You can go back home and read. I mentioned it in your notes. Zechariah chapter 11 verses 1 to 17 also speaks about shepherds. So Jesus opens his sermon with something very familiar: sheep, sheepfold, shepherds. John chapter 10 verses 1 to 6. Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. The picture was familiar, but yet the message was not understood. Now the sheepfold was usually an enclosure made of rocks. You can just imagine a room. I think would be about, let's say a sheepfold would be about three times the size of this room. All right, 2 to 3 times the size of this room, and it's surrounded. It's enclosed by rocks, and it's quite high, and there will be an opening for the door. And the shepherd or the gatekeeper, he can either be the shepherd or the gatekeeper, he would guard the flock or flocks of sheep at night. And how would he do that? He would do that by lying across the opening of that enclosure. That's what he would do. That's how the shepherd or the gatekeeper guarded the flock. So you can just imagine an enclosure like this, rocks all over, and the door there is just an opening, and there are many flocks of sheep. You know, a flock would be about 100 sheep, because remember Jesus said, if there are 99 and one goes astray, the shepherd goes after them. So let's say there's a flock of 100, and let's say the flock of three flocks of sheep. All right, and so there would be three shepherds, or there would be three. There would be a gatekeeper and three shepherds. Okay, so and either the gatekeeper or the shepherd would lie on the at the opening where the sheep could come in, and the door would actually be nothing but the shepherd lying there, the opening where the shepherd lies there, or the gatekeeper lies there. He lies across the opening. You know, that's why Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the door. Because he's lying at the opening. Now, it was not unusual for several flocks to be sheltered together in the same fold. And in the morning, what would happen? The shepherds would come, and the shepherds would call their sheep and assemble their own flocks. That's how it was. And that's how it still is. In some parts of the Middle East, the shepherds would come, and they would come in and call their own sheep and assemble their own flocks. Now, it's very interesting, and I wish that video would work, because it actually shows sheep only recognizing their own master's voice. They will not recognize anybody else's voice. Each sheep recognizes his own master's voice. The sheep won't recognize anybody else's voice. I wish we could see that video. It's real. It's very real. I hope we can do it. Maybe after the message. I don't know. Let's see. So the true shepherd comes. He comes in through the door. And the gatekeeper recognizes the shepherd. The gatekeeper recognizes the shepherd. Now the thieves and robbers could never enter through the door, because they have to climb over the wall of rocks and then enter the fold, and the only way they can do that is through deception. Climb over, get in. But even if they managed to get inside, they would never get the sheep to follow them. Not possible. They would never be able to get the sheep to follow them. Why? For the sheep follow only the voice of their own shepherd. Once again, I'm depending on that video. The false shepherds can never lead the sheep. So what do? They can never lead the sheep because the sheep listen only to the voice of their own master, their own shepherd. The sheep won't listen to other voices. So what do the false shepherds do? The false shepherds can never lead the sheep, so they steal them away. That's what they do. They steal them away. So now it's very clear. The listeners don't understand what Jesus said, verses 1 to 6. They don't understand. Or why he said it, they don't understand. John chapter 10, verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. In the King James Version, it says, John 10, verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Now, this word translated parable in the King James Version means a dark saying, a proverb. Now, in John chapter 10, this parable that's recorded here in John chapter 10 is not like the other parables in the other Gospels. This is an illustration, very clear illustration. So it's better to use that word, the figure of speech. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, what is the occasion of this figure of speech? The occasion is the excommunication of the beggar from the synagogue. The occasion for this lesson of Jesus is the excommunication of the beggar from the synagogue. John chapter 9 verse 34. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. They threw him out of the synagogue. Now listen carefully. The false shepherds, in other words, these were false shepherds, the Pharisees. The false shepherds did not care for this man. Instead, what did they do? They mistreated him and threw him out. But Jesus, the shepherd, came to him and took him in. The false shepherds, they did not care. Instead, they mistreated the man and threw him out. But Jesus, the shepherd, he came to him and he takes him in. In John 9, verses 35 to 38, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Now let's read John 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now, it's unfortunate that John chapter 10, verse 1 is often used to teach that the sheepfold is heaven. That's not true. You know, it's often used, this verse is often used to teach that the sheepfold is heaven, and that those who try to get in by any way other than Christ are destined to fail. That's a fact. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That teaching is absolutely true, and it's absolutely correct. But it must not be based on John chapter 10 verse 1. Because Jesus made it clear that the fold is the nation of Israel, not heaven. The fold is the nation of Israel, not heaven. John chapter 10 verse 16. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold." This fold is the nation of Israel. "I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So they will be one flock, one shepherd." Listen carefully. You see, the Gentiles, they are the other sheep. We who come to Christ by faith, who are non-Jews, we are the other sheep, which are not of the fold of Israel. That's why in Galatians chapter 3 verse 14, Paul tells us the blessings of Abraham have come to the Gentiles. Through what? Through what Jesus did on the cross. By the blood that he shed, he bore the curse. And he became the curse, and then he pours out his blessing upon us. And we as Gentiles receive the blessings of Abraham. And Abraham was blessed in every way. Genesis chapter 24 verse 1. The Gentiles are the other sheep, which are not of the fold of Israel. So when Jesus came to the nation of Israel, he comes to the appointed, in the appointed time, in the appointed way. To his own people, he came to his own, but his own received him not. Just as the scripture said, he came to his own. The appointed way he came. Now, let's listen. Every true shepherd must be called of God and sent by God. If he truly speaks God's word, what will happen? The sheep will hear his voice. The sheep will hear his voice and not be afraid to follow him. And the true shepherd will love the sheep and care for them. Now the people did not understand his symbolic language. The Pharisees did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus followed up this illustration with an application. He made an application in verses 7 to 10. John chapter 10 verse 7 to 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may be, that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now notice here, twice Jesus said, "I am the door." Twice he says, "I am the door." John 10 verse 7 and again verse 9. "I am the door of the sheep. I am the door." He is the door. He is the door of the sheepfold. So you see how safe the sheep are, because he's lying there at the door, at the opening. He is our security. He is our security. That's why he says, "No one can pluck you out of my hands." That's why he says that we are engraved with the palms of his hands. He is lying there at the door. He is the door. He is lying there at the opening. He is the door. He makes it possible for the sheep to leave the fold. And what is that? The religion of Judaism. And to enter his flock. Listen carefully. There are two words there. Fold and flock. You see, what did the Pharisees do? The Pharisees threw the beggar out of the synagogue. But what did Jesus do? Jesus led him out of Judaism and into the flock of God. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And that's what he does to us. He brings us into the flock. Gentiles. But the shepherd does not stop with leading the sheep out. He also leads them in. They become a part of the one flock. Notice, they become a part of the one flock, not fold. Not fold. That one flock is his church. Jew and Gentile entering into one body. He is the head. Jesus is the head. He is the door, and we are his flock. The church. The church is the flock that consists of saved Jews and Gentiles. So that's why Paul talks to the Ephesian elders and he tells them, "Take heed, you overseers. Take care how you do your job." If you're an elder of the church, you're a pastor, an elder of the church, you have a great responsibility. And Peter tells the pastors the same thing. He tells them, you need to take care of the flock. They are in need, they are in pain, they are struggling, and it is your responsibility to take care of them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." But eagerly. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Take care of the flock. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. So Jesus is the door of salvation. John chapter 10 verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And those who trust Jesus enter into the Lord's flock, and they have the wonderful privilege of going in and out and finding pasture. Now, when you keep in mind that the shepherd actually was the door of the fold, this picture becomes very real. It becomes so meaningful. As the door, Jesus delivers sinners from bondage and leads them into freedom. They have deliverance. They have salvation. And we'll come to that word salvation, saved, what it means. It's a very interesting word. They have salvation. John chapter 10 verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He will be saved. Now this word saved in Greek is sodeso. And it means to save. It means to save, deliver. It means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. It actually, in one phrase, it means delivered, safe and sound. Delivered, safe and sound. That's what it means. Delivered, safe and sound. It's very important for us to understand this word. You know, I was preaching the cross for two hours for the Gideon meeting. And I told them this. You know, Paul said something very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, I have decided to know nothing amidst you except Jesus and Him crucified. He said, I don't want to know anything else. I just want to know one thing. I want to speak to you about one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing else. Nothing else. Because if you understand what Jesus actually did on the cross, if you understand the depth of the cross and why the God of the universe, the Lord by whom all things were created, for Him, through Him, and by Him, why should such a person leave glory and come into this world and go through that cruel whipping of the Roman whip and then be crucified on the cross, bruised from head to toe, mocked and beaten, killed, crucified, allowing Himself willingly to do that? Why? Was it a half-hearted job? When He cries out, it is finished, everything with regard to your deliverance has been done on the cross. Please understand that. The God of glory would not have left glory to go through that cruel horror on the cross. He who knew no sin did no sin. There was no sin found in Him, but He became sin for you and me, so that we could be delivered from the clutches of the evil one, from what the devil has done to us. Because the devil comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. Sodezo. Deliverance. Healing. Restoration. Guilt. Shame. All of that gone. He came to bring us back to the original DNA, so to speak. I think I told you last Sunday, Psalm 139 verse 16. The original DNA plan that God had for you and me, which was marred by sin. When we were born into this world, in sin did my mother conceive me. He restores us back to Himself, to the original blueprint that God has for us, which He has foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid. He delivers us from darkness, from the grips of the evil one, so that He can restore us and bring us back to that original DNA plan that He has for us. And if we would seek His face and understand what He has done for us on the cross, we would receive by faith the deliverance. We would be delivered, safe and sound. A deficient understanding of the cross leads to error in faith or partial faith. You know, it's like saying half the truth makes you half the Christian, or one-fourth the truth makes you one-fourth the Christian. And so you don't experience the abundance and the joy and the peace and the grace and the power and the fullness and the abundance that God wants to give you, because you are His, because He has delivered you safe and sound. It's so important to understand the cross, my friends. It's so important. And the more you understand and grasp the truth about what Jesus did, the more you will be delivered. The more you will experience deliverance. Because that word sodeso, you see, that word sodeso was used in Greek for somebody who recovered from severe illness. It was used, the same word was used for somebody who had come through a bad storm, somebody who had survived a war, somebody who was acquitted at court. Same word, sodeso, delivered. Delivered. And David speaks of this kind of deliverance. In Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the mighty bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. David, in other words, saying, he didn't do a half-hearted job. He knew what he was doing. In delivering me, he knew what he was doing. And therefore he praises him. He says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So in Psalm 23 in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I shall not be in want. I don't lack anything. That's what it actually means. You know, when I was a kid and I studied Psalm 23 by heart from the King James Version, and all I could not understand, because the first word itself was I could sing that hymn beautifully when I was a kid, and I won a prize in a Kerala state competition in schools singing Psalm 23, but I didn't understand what it meant. I could sing it beautifully, but I could not understand what it meant. And let me tell you what I understood. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I understood, that's Queen's English, you can't understand. So I understood this way, the Lord is my shepherd, whom I don't want. But you know, the real truth is this. A little boy in the Sunday school said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I know. That's all I want, that's the truth. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. That's the truth. That's what it really means. Every need of yours is met in one person, the person of Jesus Christ, who left glory. Every drop of blood that oozed out of his body is a blood that speaks today. Hebrews 12:24 speaks of that blood. It's the blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel speaks judgment. The blood of Abel speaks vengeance. The blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness. That blood speaks now on your behalf. On your behalf. That blood speaks forgiveness. That blood speaks deliverance. Understand what he's doing for you right now. He is interceding for you in heaven. When the enemy is accusing you, you know what happens? Jesus puts in front of the enemy the banner. In front of the enemy, the banner of his blood. This is my child, whom I deliver, whom I forgive. And when you are his, and when you're experiencing the attack of the enemy, how did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even unto death. Psalm 23 in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, deliverance and security comes from Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And what has he done? He's given his very life for us, his sheep. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life. John chapter 10 verses 14 to 18. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. That's speaking of you and me. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. How beautiful. Nobody could do this. 100% man, 100% God, leaves glory for this one purpose, to seek and to save the lost and to bring them into his flock. He gave his very life to do so. It is finished. Deathless die. All that needed to be done, whatever it was that needed to be done to bring in that deliverance so that you could be delivered safe and sound, was done on the cross. Sodeso. Sodeso. Now the sheep will not listen to the voice of false shepherds. The sheep will not listen to the voice of false shepherds. Psalm 40, the same psalm where David speaks about his deliverance. In verse 4 he says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie." Who is a liar? Who is the liar? The devil himself. He is a born liar. He speaks only lies. The sheep won't listen. The sheep will not, true sheep will not listen to the voice of false shepherds. John 10 verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So that's all. Now some modern preachers, they want to do away with this word. Oh, it's an old fashioned word, saved. Are you saved? So they want to do away with this word. But Jesus used it. Jesus used it. In John chapter 10 verse 8, Jesus was referring primarily to religious leaders of that day. The religious leaders of that day. John chapter 10 verse 8. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Now he was not condemning every prophet or servant of God who ministered before he came into the earth. No, that's not what he's saying. You see that statement, "are thieves and robbers," not "were." It makes it clear that he had the present religious leaders in mind. He had the present religious leaders in mind. Those Pharisees who had thrown out the blind man from the synagogue. Those were the people he's speaking about. They were not true shepherds. In fact, they did not have the approval of God on their ministry. Listen carefully. For the ministry to be blessed, the servants of God, the elders and the pastor, must be people who have the call of God on their lives and the approval of God in their ministry. Without that, you're a self-made elder and not a man who's been placed there by God, because there's no approval of God on the ministry. And the Pharisees were exactly like that. They did not have the approval of God on their ministry. These Pharisees, they did not love the sheep. But instead, what did they do? They exploited the sheep and they abused the sheep. You see, the beggar who was healed was a good example of what the thieves and robbers would do. That's what they did. It is clear in the gospel record that the religious rulers, these Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, they were interested only in providing for themselves and protecting themselves. And therefore Jesus condemned them. He condemned them openly. He called them false shepherds. He called them whitewashed tombs. There are so many passages in the scripture. But just let's read a few. Matthew 23. Verse 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven into people's faces. You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in." Very strong words. He's speaking to religious leaders. Again, Matthew 23, verse 15. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Again in verse 27, Matthew 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." You see, these Pharisees were covetous people. They were in the job to see what they could get from these people. That's what they wanted. They were feeding their own bellies out of these people. They're milking the flock for their own needs. They were very covetous. Covetous people. Jesus said in Luke 16 verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. Now immediately after that, you see how the Pharisees responded. Luke 16 Verse 14, how did the Pharisees respond? The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. So they were covetous people. And then they even took advantage of poor widows. Poor widows. Mark chapter 12, verse 14. Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. They will receive the greater condemnation. What else did they do? Covetous, taking advantage of the poor widows, turning God's temple into a den of thieves. Matthew 21, verse 13. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." What else? When the truth came across to them, they didn't receive the truth. They rejected the truth. And not only did they reject the truth, they rejected the very messenger himself. And they wanted to kill him. The Pharisees plotted to kill Jesus so that Rome would not take away their privileges. In John chapter 11, their leader, verses 49 to 53, Caiaphas, the high priest. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest, that year he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. You see, the true shepherd came to save the sheep. But the false shepherds, they take advantage of the sheep and they exploit them. Now, who's behind these false shepherds? Listen carefully. Behind these false shepherds is the thief. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Make sure you listen to the true shepherd. Stop listening to the thief. The thief will tell you to remain in your sin and teach you to love your sin and then mock you when you're living in sin and destroy you, even kill you prematurely, take away your life. Because he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief refers to Satan. And all that the thief wants to do is to actually steal the sheep. He wants to steal the sheep from the fold, slaughter the sheep and destroy them. But if you're the true sheep, you hear the voice of the shepherd and you won't hear another voice. You refuse to listen to another voice. And the sheep are safe in the hands of the shepherd and the father. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You see, when you go through the door, you receive life and you are saved. And as you go in and out, you enjoy abundant life in the rich pastures of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. Jesus Christ is the one who laid down. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is also the great shepherd who lives for the sheep. He lives for the sheep. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And how did he accomplish this for you and me? How does He give us life? By the blood of the eternal covenant. The blood of the eternal covenant. Listen carefully. You see, the high priest in the Old Testament, book of Leviticus chapter 26, you'll read. Sorry, Leviticus 16, you can go back and read. The high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies how many times? Only once. Once a year. Once a year. And before he entered into the Holy of Holies once a year, you know what he would do? He'll have to sacrifice for himself as well as the people of Israel. And then what does he do? He takes the blood and goes beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkles that blood on the mercy seat. For what? To cover the sins of the people of Israel for 1 year. The sins could not be taken away. The sins could only be covered, could not be taken away. And that too covered only for 1 year. Every year, the high priest had to go in. What did the good shepherd do? He shed his blood on the cross. That blood is the blood of the eternal covenant. Once and for all, once and for all, the sacrifice has been made. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will. You see that? You want to get back to the original DNA plan that God has for you? There's only one way: through the blood of the eternal covenant. Through the blood of the eternal covenant. By the blood that He shed on the cross. What does He do? He equips you with everything good, because He seals you by His Spirit, you see, that you may do His will. That plan, that blueprint that He had before the foundation of the world was laid, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10 speaks about that, doesn't it? You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then goes on to tell us you're saved to do good works, which He foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid. That was God's blueprint plan for your life. But that DNA plan of God was marred by sin. When we entered into this world, in sin did my mother conceive me. Jesus shed His blood, the blood of the eternal covenant, to restore you and me to that original blueprint. Raises up, seated us with Him in the heavenly places, on victory ground, to fulfill the will that God has, the plan that God has for your life. Listen, the job is, when he left glory and when He died on the cross, it was finished. Everything that needed to be done with regard to your deliverance has been done. Now it is up to you and me to receive by faith the finished work that Jesus has done for us on the cross, so that we can be restored back to the original plan of God and do God's will, because He equips us by His Spirit to fulfill that task, that plan that He has for us. Do you realize how your life becomes so meaningful? Purposeful, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is why it's so important to learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd, so that you can be equipped to do His will. And how do you listen to the voice of the shepherd? Last Sunday I told you three means by which we can listen to the voice of the shepherd. Worship. Become a worshipper. You see, this blind man was healed. He met with Jesus. What did he do? He worshipped Him. He worshipped Him. He had only heard His voice and believed. Now he saw Him. He worshipped Him. When you become a worshipper, you learn to listen to the voice of God. Because when you worship the true and the living God, the very manifest presence of God becomes real. Not only does His manifest presence become real, His power becomes real. His word becomes real. Worship, number one, word, the word. It's so important. How do I know God's blueprint plan for my life? I need to learn to listen to His voice. Worship prepares the atmosphere for me to listen to what God is saying to me. And I read the word of God, meditate on the word of God. My mind is renewed. I can begin to think the way that God wants me to think. And when I take what I receive from him and convert it into prayer, I'm surrendering my will to the will of God. And therefore I'm able to do what he wants me to do. And I enjoy doing it. And that's why he says, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. All that needed to be done has been done. It's important for us to learn to become sensitive to what God wants us to receive and to obey, so that we can be empowered by His Spirit and experience the joy and the peace that comes in doing His will. In John chapter 10, verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Learn to listen to the voice of the great shepherd of the sheep, who lives to give you abundant life. You know, Samuel learned to listen to his voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, remember when he was a little boy and he didn't know how to recognize the voice of the Lord, and he goes to Eli when he first hears, and he doesn't know who's speaking. So he runs to Eli, and finally Eli recognizes that God is trying to get across to Samuel. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. You see, Eli had known how to hear the voice of the Lord, but now he's not listening anymore. But he knew this is how God speaks. So when the little boy Samuel began to hear the voice of the Lord, Eli had turned, this is how you listen. His own sons, he did not teach them to listen. But Samuel listened. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. How beautiful, isn't it? Morning by morning he awakens me. Remember that. Isaiah 50 verse 4. For what? To give me the tongue of the learned, to sustain the weary. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. I like that phrase, calling as at other times. That means every morning he wants to wake you up. That's a promise. Isaiah 54 is a promise. Like, you don't need an alarm clock. You just need to give your life into the hands of the Lord. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's a Jewish boy's prayer. I pray that prayer every night before I go to sleep. Five minutes to four, he wakes me up. And I know I have to get up because he's going to listen. I have to listen. I want to listen to his voice. I want to listen to him speaking to me. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. So Samuel learned to listen to the voice of the Lord and follow what God said. And you know what happened? The scripture tells us what happens. When Samuel learned to listen to the voice of the Lord and follow the Lord, what does the scripture say? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And Samuel grew. What does that mean? He grew to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord. And when you begin to listen to the voice of the Lord, what happens? The Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. When you learn to listen to the voice of the Lord, this is what happens. You will learn to speak the word of the Lord. When you learn to listen to the voice of the Lord, you will learn to speak the word of the Lord. When you learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd, you will enjoy fullness and freedom, and the Lord will give you the tongue of the learned to sustain the weary world. It's a wicked world. Yes, it's getting wicked more day by day. The newspaper is bad enough, let me tell you. It's bad enough. Woe unto you who have television screens in your home. The newspaper is bad enough. It's bad enough. It's miserable. But to the world that is wicked and weary, to a world that is troubled and in pain, to the world that is broken and beaten and bound by the enemy, God wants you and me to go and give them His word. How can you do that? Without learning to listen to the voice of the Lord, you can't do that. I was telling the Gideons the other day, if you don't walk with the Lord, if you don't learn to live in the realm of the Spirit of God, you know what? You'll be giving out New Testaments, but inside you, it'll be burning on the inside. You're telling other people about freedom, but deep down inside, you're living in bondage. You can't. You can't do the ministry, let me tell you that. You can't enjoy the ministry, it's not possible. If you really want to enjoy doing what God wants you to do, if you want to experience that fullness and abundance of joy that comes from the Father, through the Son, by His Spirit, you need to walk with God. You need to learn to listen to His voice on a daily basis. Otherwise, you won't have freedom. You won't have the joy. You won't have peace. Read Romans 15 verse 13. That was the verse they gave me to preach on in Gideon's. Romans 15 verse 13. Can you just read that verse? It's a beautiful verse. Read Romans 15 verse 13. And I want to just focus on the last part of that verse. Romans 15 verse 13. If you don't listen to the voice of God, you can't experience joy. You can't experience peace. You won't experience joy. You won't experience peace if you're not listening to the voice of the Lord. You will experience the voice of the devil. You will listen to the lies of the devil if you don't listen to the voice of God. Let me tell you that. Read Romans 15, 13, please. Any one of you who got it, please read it loud as fast as possible. Yeah. May the God of hope. You see, He's the God, the giver of hope. What does He do?
Fill you with all joy.
He wants to fill you with all joy and peace.
In believing.
How does He do that? In believing. In believing what? Believing in what He has done for you on the cross.
So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
You may abound in
hope.
And that's it, right? The power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You know why? We don't have the message of hope to a hopeless world. Why? Because we are not walking in the realm of the Spirit. To the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. If you are living and walking in the realm of the Holy Spirit, you learn listening on a constant basis. You are listening to the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Morning by morning, He will awaken you. You will learn from Him. You will learn to receive like Samuel received His word. And then what will happen? None of your words will fall to the ground. None of your words will fall to the ground. Because you have heard from the Lord. When you learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd, you'll enjoy fullness, you'll enjoy freedom. What's the first part of that verse in Romans 15 verse 13? May the God of hope fill you with what?
All joy
and peace. That's what He wants to give you in believing. Believing what? In the finished work of Jesus on the cross. You believe what will happen. If you understand what Jesus did for you on the cross in its fullness. And I'm telling you, I'm just learning more and more of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm still learning. And the more I understand, the more I believe what happened. The more joy and the more peace. Because the more I understand what God has done for me in giving me His Son. And I experience more of the power of the Holy Spirit because He equips us to do His will. So we'll abound in hope. Hope for a Christian is not just, you die and go to heaven. That's not, if that was the case, then when we receive Christ into our lives, that very moment we should have gone to heaven. The hope of a Christian is to experience the power of the Holy Spirit at work in him, abounding in his life, abounding in hope. That hope becomes stronger and stronger. It becomes a reality. You already have a foretaste of heaven in your life as you live and walk in obedience to God. And one day you see Him face to face, and you know for sure you're going to see Him face to face. That's the assurance. That's the blessed assurance. And that's the joy of the Christian life. You see, Jesus not only laid down His life for us, He also gives His life. He gives His life to us right now. And that's why He's called the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is also the chief shepherd. He'll return in glory to reward His sheep. He gives us His life. Empowers us. He lays down His life as the good shepherd. He gives us His life as the great shepherd. And one day He'll return in glory. He's the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He'll return in glory and He'll reward you. He'll reward you for what you've done. He's written a book about you. And if you're willing to follow Him, you learn to listen to His voice and understand His book which is written about you, and you will begin to do His will. And in doing so, what will happen when you see Him face to face? He will reward you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. And when the chief priest and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life. He is the great shepherd who gives us his life today. And he is the chief shepherd who will come, and he will give us the reward if we walk with him. Now God reveals his will to us when we seek him, as I told you, through worship, through the word, and through prayer. And one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll have to give an account of what we have done after we have received Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. And this is very, very important. Listen carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one, he's speaking to believers, each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. There is a reward awaiting us if we have functioned well, if we obeyed his voice. You see, God has prepared good works for us to walk in beforehand. I told you in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. It's so beautiful. Actually, the original word there meaning workmanship is we are his poem. We are his poem. That's the meaning of the word. Created in Christ Jesus. For what? See, God's blueprint over your life is so beautiful. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If we have fared well, if we have fared well, we will receive a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Unto reward, not unto condemnation. This is for the believer. Alright? Not for the unbeliever. The unbeliever faces the white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse 12. That's a white throne judgment, where the books will be opened. And the unbeliever will have to give an account. Here the believer is giving an account. For what? For reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be manifest, will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. Remember, his eyes are like blazing fire. There's nothing, you can't hide anything from him. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work, now listen carefully, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The believer, yes, saved. But you can get to heaven with no reward. No reward at all. In fact, I like the New Living Translation here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, the NLT, this is what it says. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved. But like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. That means some believers will just about enter heaven by the skin of their teeth with no reward. It's like escaping the flames of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who escaped the flames of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot and his two children. His wife, no. He became a pillar of salt. Abraham lived a fruitful life. Lot, righteous man, yes. Because declared righteous by God, that's it. Reward, I don't know. When we get to see him in heaven, we'll know what reward he had. God declares you and me righteous by the blood of Jesus. But there's a reward awaiting us. Are you running for that reward? That's the question. Some believers will enter into heaven. Yes, by the skin of their teeth, they'll enter into heaven. But no reward. No reward. Now listen carefully. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for you. He is the great shepherd. He lives for you. He is the chief shepherd. He is coming for you. Why live a dead life when you can turn and just trust the good shepherd who laid down his life for you? He gives you the free gift of eternal life when you simply trust him. Number two, why live a defeated life when you can listen to the voice of the good shepherd and live out the abundant life? Why live a hopeless life when you can trust the great shepherd who is coming to reward you? The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Run that you may obtain it. The writer to the Hebrews, he tells us to run the race, and he tells us run with endurance. You know, the Christian life is not a 100 meter dash. The Christian life is a marathon. It's a marathon. And we are called to run with endurance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That's something that you must be dead to, my friends. If you want to serve God, you can't serve sin and God. It's not possible. It's not possible. You know, that's why many... See, remember I told you the story of the little boy who came to church and he told his mama, Mama, I'm not going to come to church anymore again. You remember that story? Mama says, why is it that you don't want to come to church anymore? Why is it that you don't want to come? You need to go to church. He said, no, I'm not coming to church. She said, why? What's the reason? Why is it that you don't want to come to church? Church is important. Why don't you go to church? Why don't you come to church? And no, everybody in church has a long face. Everybody in church has the face of a horse. Long face, a sad face. There's no joy. There's no. Then you talk about joy, 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 joy. Down, yeah. It's so deep down. I got the peace that passeth all understanding. Where is it? Down in my heart. Where's the peace? Where's the joy? You're not walking with God. How can you have peace? How can you have joy? It's not possible. You see, we sing a lot of these songs. We are liars when we sing, let me say that. The joy needs to overflow. The Christian life is an outflow of an inflow. When you're walking with the Lord, it's a constant walkie-talkie communion with God. You're learning to listen to His voice. You constantly listen and you obey. And when you obey, you have the experience of joy. You have the experience of peace. Otherwise, you'll have a long face like a horse on a Sunday morning. And then the pastor has to do what? Crank you up for the next week. And that's not what you should be doing. Get to learn to listen to God's voice day by day. And you know what will happen? You'll come to church rejoicing. You'll be a worshiper. You'll want to worship. You won't pass the mic around. You take time. You worship God. You won't say, pass it on. No, you worship God because you're full of joy. You know what it means because you are a worshiper. You're a worshiper. Watch out for false shepherds. There are many of them these days. Some of them preach half the gospel, one-fourth the gospel. They preach it for their own means, for their own belly. They won't like to touch every aspect of the truth of the cross. They don't like to do that. They don't want it either. They speak about a flabby love. God is love, God is love, God is love, they'll tell you. But in that love, you know, God's love includes God's holy wrath. Please understand that. God is a just God. You can't dissect His justice from His love. You can't. He's a just God. He's a loving God. And it applies to believers too. It applies to believers too. No. God is love. God is love. God is love. He forgives. That's a flabby love. That's not holy love. That's a love that is portrayed in the movies, in the magazines, and that's the kind of love that teddy bear Christianity preaches today. It's a false gospel. Don't believe that. That's a lie of the devil. Don't believe that. He's a God of love. He's a God of truth. He's full of truth. He's full of grace. John says we touched Him. We know who He is. And we speak about who He is. Watch out for false shepherds. Learn to listen to the voice of the true shepherd. Follow Him so that you can receive His reward. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. They say he's a phantom, he's a ghost. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Win a full reward. Brothers, listen carefully. Jesus is the door. The question is, have you entered in by faith so that you're saved? And that salvation is delivered safe and sound. Safe and sound. That's so best. Delivered safe and sound. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? I think after we pray, if you can get that on the screen, well and good. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. But it would be good. The word would sink in to understand. The sheep would listen only to the master's voice. They won't listen to the stranger's voice. They are the true sheep. They know the shepherd's voice. Let's pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father.